Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
I'm Max.
And this is episode 93 of our show. It's Thursday, April 30th, 2009, a couple of days before a rather regal day in the United States, the day that the Kentucky Derby is run.
The Fabulous Kentucky Derby.
Right, the Fabulous Kentucky Derby. And, you know, like I had mentioned to you before, we wanted to do a spectacular, you know, an extravaganza like we did last year for the Derby, but we just couldn't get the interest up, sort of like the whole horse racing industry in general.
You know, a few years ago, horse racing was still the number one spectator sport in the country, and I think it's been passed by auto racing, but it's still very popular.
Well, that's because people like to see the horses crash.
That's very good. I think it has something to about them liking to see their wallets crash. But.
Right, I'm sure that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But anyway, I don't think you mentioned that this is Countless Screaming Argonauts.
I think I said that at very, very first, that welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts.
Oh, yeah, you did. All right, so this is
I
our
did.
Show, like you said. All right, I'll just be quiet now and...
Well, no, because you are going to take us on a little Kentucky Derby journey.
I am going to...
Because as I said, I'm not... I said this last year, and I'll repeat it. I'm not a big horse race fan. I mean, I grew up near Belmont Racetrack, and I can remember as a kid going over there and kind of watching things a little bit and being fascinated by it. But, you know, the prospect of putting money down and betting on stuff like that just doesn't appeal to me whatsoever, so I never really got into it. But I also recognize the grandeur of it. I knew somebody who used to go down to Kentucky every year from Long Island to see the race.
Yep, Max out went 1 year, just had to go.
And I know Manhattan Man has gone at least once, right?
Right, and he said he'd been to about 10 or 11 Belmonts. But
right.
The Derby is the number one horse racing event in the country.
Well, it's a spectacular. You know, it's like the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, one time a year, the biggest event of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, except in horse racing, it's backwards, because even though the Kentucky Derby is the biggest race of the three, the Belmont is the most important one, because that's the one that you have to win to win the Triple Crown.
Well, yeah.
You win the first two races and you lose the Belmont and you got nothing.
Right. Obviously, you have to win all three. But the other thing about the Belmont is it's a mile and a half long.
Right.
And my friend Eileen says that she doesn't like horse racing, even though she loves horses, because she thinks it's cruel to make
them run that far.
3-year-olds run that far. And the Derby is a mile and a quarter. The Preakness is a mile and eighth, and the Belmont's a mile and a half.
So if horse racing was like a 100-yard sprint, she'd like it better? Is that what she's saying or implying?
I think so, yeah.
Or does she just think that the whole idea of running for sport
Well,
is...
and her horses are the fancy stepping horses. She raises Morgan, so I don't know. But I'm sure that she would tell you that a horse was bred to run, meant to run, and she likes the fact that horses like to run.
Listen to Clydesdale.
Right? There are horses, draft horses, that they don't do the running thing. Right, but it would be wrong to keep a racing horse in a barn.
Right.
You know, and but yeah, she thinks that. Well, the way the 3-year-old deal goes, they run them as 2-year-olds, and she tells me that they're not fully grown, in
right.
part because they count a horse's birthday from January of the year they're born.
No matter which, when they're
in
actually
recent years, a couple of horses break down, and she thinks it's cruel.
Well, regardless of that issue, let's get into the race itself. I know that you have a couple of opinions about who's running and what they're going to do. So why don't you lay that knowledge out to us?
I want Revenge to win the Derby, and it's a little disappointing to me because I think it's not a regal, sufficient enough name for a horse to win the Triple Crown, and I picked a horse. I predicted at the beginning of the year the horse is going to win the Triple Crown. I think we need a horse name like Affirmed or Alidar or War
or
Admiral
Secretariat.
Or Secretariat. Right.
And you need something like that to...
That's a...
Seabiscuit.
You need a... yeah, well, I don't know. Actually, if you read the book Seabiscuit, it was a clumsy little horse with a crooked leg. And he didn't win the Triple Crown. I think War Admiral won it that year. But that was when it was a major, major deal to bring a horse across the country. Seabiscuit, if I remember right, was a West Coast horse. One of them was a West Coast horse, anyway. And one of them was an East Coast horse.
So that was difficult.
Yeah, you had to get a lot of money to get the owner to bring the horse across the country. But I think a horse should have a majestic...
Well,
name.
What I was trying to say to you as we were discovering that our connection wasn't quite working right was the fact that I Want Revenge sounds like a fist pump name. Now, I know how much you hate fist pumps. And so I immediately, when I read that that horse was the favorite, I kind of knew that you were going to have some problems with it because it just, you know, it has that kind of name that you would have problems with, I thought. So I'm glad to see that I was accurate in my interpretation of that.
You were right. There's a horse that some people are picking that I'm not that has a good name, I think. Dunkirk. That's a horse that you could say for all time, you know, the great Dunkirk. It's a strong name. It's a sufficient name. It doesn't have to have a lot of letters, although Secretariat does. But a Triple Crown winning horse should have a substantial name.
It was Dunkirk. Is that a city in Germany or something? It is.
Yeah, it is.
Does that horse have a connection to that, or is it just a name?
My research doesn't go that far. I have no idea.
Okay. All right, well, that's interesting. I always found that the naming of horses an interesting, because I know you can't have two horses with the same name,
right.
And I know that...
And there's an official name, and then there's the sort of name that the trainer calls the horse. And they generally have to do with the breeding. And in the case of I Want Revenge, the sire was Stephen Got Even. Which, you know, that's how they come up with Revenge,
right.
I think.
It sounds perfectly fine to me.
Right. But Stephen Got Even isn't a great name. I never liked that horse for that reason. And, you know, it's petty. But anyway.
So that was a little rhyme there. Stephen Got Even and... well, for...
But anyway, among the other good horses is a horse named Papa Clem. Come on.
Right.
You can't have a horse named Papa Clem winning the Triple Crown.
Right, that would be dumb.
The second horse, the horse I'm predicting to go second, but the other favorite would be, in my opinion, would be Pioneer of the Nile. And while I'm not sure what it means, that's nearly an acceptable Triple Crown winning name. I'm not sure, you know, what the history of it is, but Pioneer of the Nile beat I Want Revenge one time, so we know that horse can be beat. But it had I Want Revenge had a great run, very, very difficult run to win the Wood Memorial, which is one of the several prep races. So that's
well,
a good
we
horse.
When we were chatting last night just about this, didn't you say that horse started terribly in the race and spent the whole race trying to catch up and finally did so right at the very end?
Yeah, he pretty much stopped. He kind of lurched out of the gate and came out of the gate dead last, worked through a pile of horses. Actually, there was some bumping going on, which suggests that this horse can handle sort of the rough stuff. Some horses don't like to be bumped. And this horse kind of squeezed his way through around the final turn and came on with a big kick at the end. The other horses were close, but... It was a magnificent ride and an improbable ride from dead last and a bad start through traffic to a win, which is why I'm picking him.
Now, let me just ask a question, and excuse my ignorance in this.
Well,
but
sure.
And this is probably less related to the Kentucky Derby and more related to just horse racing in general. Right. When horses run in a race, people bet on them.
Right.
Okay. Does the owner of the horse get a percentage of the money that's bet on the horse?
No. The
He doesn't. Okay. Because what I was going to say is that it would make sense to come up with a really unique name, because that unique name might garner more people's $2
well,
bets.
Well, yeah, that reasoning is sound, because there, I can't tell you how many times people have said, I like the name of this horse, I'm going to bet on it. You're exactly right about that. No, what they do is they put up a purse, and generally, like with the Kentucky Derby, I believe, all the owners have to put $100,000 up to get in the race. And then the purse is $1 million, I think. It might be more than that. And then if you win all three, there's a $5 million bonus put up by Visa. And that gets back to the debate we had last year, which is, if you got a horse that wins the Triple Crown, you can sell the breeding rights to that horse for between $250,000 and $500,000 a pop. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
You know, at what point do you take your valuable, now valuable horse and run him in the next race, knowing that these horses do break their legs and have to be
right.
put down?
Oh,
you know?
Sure. It also raises, for me, it raises the whole issue of that $5 million bonus. I just hope that that's not my tax money.
I don't think so. I think horse racing runs without need of government interference.
Well, Visa, if Visa's putting up the $5 million.
Oh, yeah. Well, but is Visa getting a bailout?
I don't know.
They're probably screwing you.
But I hope not.
Interest payments, but I don't think they're like AIG that they're getting money from the federal government. I could be wrong about that.
Right. Okay. Well, I hope not. If I find out that they are, I'm going to be pissed.
Now, there is a horse that ran second to I Want Revenge called West Side Bernie. And because I'm a big fan of Bernie Williams, I'd like to see that horse win. I have no idea if it has anything to do with Bernie Williams. And he's got an outside shot. He ran second to I Want Revenge in the wood.
Did not George Steinbrenner have a horse that ran in the Derby or
yeah,
was
George,
going to run in the Derby
George
or something?
George is big into horses. He has run horses in the Derby. I don't know that he's running any horses this year. Mike Francesa owns horses, too. I don't know if any of his horses are in this Derby. But there was a horse that had a, none of these horses have a great name. Quality Road was a pretty good name for a horse, but he dropped out.
Uh-huh.
Regal Ransom, one of the Dubai horses, has a name fitting a Derby winner. And there's these two horses, Regal Ransom and I almost think it was Quality Road. I'll have to see if I can figure it out. Anyway, that are shipping in from overseas. The Arab princes have never won any of their any of the major. Well, they haven't never won the Kentucky Derby, but they've got two horses this year. Desert Something is the other one, and all of a sudden I've lost my my bookmark for it. Regal Ransom and Desert Party are horses shipping in from the Middle East You know, what does it take? What does it cost to ship a horse, to fly a horse from Dubai to Kentucky? It's not cheap. These guys are
loaded
with
them. I'm sure it's not cheap.
So anyway, I Want Revenge, Power.
I mean, I bet you they make you buy three seats for it.
I don't think we're going with seats here. I think they got a special plane just for the horse.
A horse
plane?
Yeah,
I do. I think there's some big kind of cargo plane where they tie it down, and they probably buy three seats for the guy who gets to sleep next to it while he's, you know, flying. So anyway, I Want Revenge, Pioneer of the Nile, Papa Clem, and Desert Party. It's a pretty sad state of names for the Kentucky Derby this year. And I'm kind of hoping for Dunkirk because it's a substantial name. And it's a name worthy of a Triple Crown winner.
Okay, so give me your three choices again that you think are going to win place and show.
I Want Revenge will win. Pioneer of the Nile will finish second, and Papa Clem will finish third.
Okay, and so that obviously indicates that you are betting on I Want Revenge to win the Triple Crown this year.
I am.
Because you did predict that. All right.
So that's the Kentucky Derby show. And Maxette, I don't want to hear anything about how you had the correct winner.
Right, absolutely not. No, she had her chance. We offered her an opportunity to come on the show tout her skill. And she blew us off, and she'll pay for that.
We're just going to have to we're going to have to go with our picks. Manhattan Man, same way.
Well, he was available last night. I mean, we could have had him. And we may end up talking to him tomorrow and splicing in a little bit of Manhattan Man.
So, knowledge. All right, that's a good point. But all right, what else have we got?
Okay, well, I got a couple of update stories right off the bat.
Yeah.
Okay, Austin, Texas is the first one. And basically, Senator John Corona, a Republican from Dallas, has proposed a bill that says that people who ignore mandatory evacuations should be required to pay for their rescue. Right. Now, not to say I told you so, but going back... probably 5 months ago, I raised this issue and I said that, that there are a lot of towns that charge you for ambulance rides and stuff like that. And I thought that if you were going to have, this was actually when Ike hit the coast.
Yeah. Oh, I completely remember. You're definitely right that you said this before. And obviously this particular Texan should have been listening to Countless Screaming.
I think maybe he did, and he took our idea, and he waited till it got far enough away from the incident so that he could get it past, try to get it past us, but
no way.
No way, we found it.
We know all, we see all.
Right.
You are the fabulous penguin.
I just come up with these ideas.
and you're right. And we need some kind of... graft and gratuity fee
I'm not talking about just rescues. I'm talking about when they say you must leave.
Right.
We have an impending whatever, and you must leave, and you don't, then you got to pay for the $4,400 helicopter flight. I think that's fair.
The more I think about this, I'm beginning to have a problem with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking about New Orleans. Some of those people either had no place to go or no money to get there.
Well, I think that that would have to be part of the issue.
A mitigating factor?
In other words, if the county says the whole county has to be evacuated, then I think that they also have to say we're going to provide buses or whatever to get people out.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't have a car and you don't have a whatever, then I don't think you can be held responsible.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. Right.
You know, but
I'm back on your side.
Okay. All right. So then I'm looking around and I find that United States Senator Bob Menendez, the famous Bob Menendez, New Jersey. New Jersey, Democrat from New Jersey, has introduced a bill that he wants to make schools host a peer-to-peer program to educate teens about web safety.
And boy, haven't we talked about
this. We have hammered this for weeks.
Once again, Countless Screaming Argonauts way out in front.
Way out in front of the curve. Remember we talked about maybe they should do a thing where when the computer starts up, you get that little message like the FBI message on your videotapes.
Right.
That just say something simple like, hey, listen, if you post it on the web, it's out there for the world to see.
Because, forever for everyone.
Right. Because right after that story, there was a story about a woman who lost her job because she was surfing on Facebook when she called in sick to her job.
Now, how did they know that?
Because she updated on her Facebook page the fact that she was sick that day and not going to work.
Well, yeah, we had one where a guy bragged on his Facebook page that he wasn't sick.
Right, absolutely. We've had a couple who lost their jobs because they called in sick and they were actually drunk.
Right. And, you know? And of course, the famous iguana guy.
Right, absolutely.
Which I still
absolutely
love.
So you have all these stories. I mean, you would think that eventually people would start to catch on.
They don't know yet.
You would
yet.
Think that eventually, that if you put it on the internet, it's out there for the world to see. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out.
People don't know. They
you know?
And it's well, I was going to say it's not teenagers.
But it is teenagers, too.
We've said this before. There's two things going on. There's people that are older who don't understand the power of this thing. And there's right. people that are younger that don't understand the implications.
Right, absolutely. That's like the 14-year-old who posts nude pictures of themselves.
Right.
And then they get charged with child pornography.
Yeah.
They don't understand the implication of what they're doing.
Right.
And or the stupid drunk who calls in sick to work and
but why did it,
writes on his Facebook page that I'm not going to work today because I'm drunk as shit and I don't feel like going in. Well, she supposedly had this. I believe it was migraines. They don't come out right out and say it, but that she couldn't work in front of a computer. She didn't work. She worked in front of a computer at her job. But she occasionally got these migraines, and she needed to lie in the dark with the lights out in order to get over the migraines. So she called in sick saying that she couldn't do that, and then she updated her Facebook page.
You know, I have some sympathy for that. It doesn't take you but 5 minutes, possibly, to update your Facebook page. It's different than looking at a computer monitor for 8 hours. I'm not sure this woman was treated fairly. You know, you can post on your Facebook page and then go back to bed, turn the lights out.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I think that if you say that you can't work at a computer job because of whatever the problem is,
you better not be online.
You better not go on the computer when you're home. If you want to sit there and play solitaire, that's one thing, but if you're going to go on the internet and let other people know that you're on the internet, I think that's probably dumb.
Well, if we're just talking about dumb, not so dumb,
right?
It falls in the former category, not the latter. Right. All right, what else we got?
Well, I wanted to talk about this this teen repellent thing. And
yeah.
the reason this caught my eye, there's two reasons. One is because I had read some stories about this happening in the United States. This story was in the Dutch city of Rotterdam. But I had seen it mentioned in a story here in New England on the news about some companies here doing the same thing. And College Boy had told me that there's this website that you can go to where you can have it play this high-pitched tone, and people who are like over 17, 18, 19-year-olds can't hear it.
Oh,
while
cool.
young kids can.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar. Did
yeah, so
about
essentially
that
what happens is that these companies are growing tired of kids who are hanging outside their stores and hassling customers who are coming in and out and loitering and, you know, I'm assuming they're probably skateboarding or whatever in front of the stores.
Yeah.
And so this company sells what they call the teen repellent mosquito, and it's a device that makes this, that emits an annoying sound with a frequency that can only be heard by people under the age of about 25.
That is weird.
And this buzzing sound, essentially, they've said that it gives some kids headaches.
Yeah.
You know, but it has increased the, it would decrease the number of loitering kids in front of stores. Well, this was happening in New England, where kids were going and hanging out in an apartment building alcove during the wintertime because it was warm.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really cared until they started hassling people coming in and out and making them feel unsafe.
Right.
And so the owner of the apartment building put one of these devices in the alcove. He doesn't have to worry about the people who live there. They're all elderly.
Right.
They don't hear a damn thing. You could put a fire alarm bell there.
Put a fire horn up there, and they're not going to hear it.
But the teenagers were, you know, were kind of repelled by this. So I think it's an interesting thought, and what it does for me is it raises the issue. One, is that, you know, is it okay to do something like that? Is that an appropriate way to deal with loitering teenagers? You know, and I can't come up with a reason why it's not.
Well, it's age discrimination.
Well, I mean, if people who are over 25 started hanging out in that place, then the device would not be effective and you'd have to find something else.
Right.
But, I mean, it's like if there were four-year-olds who are hanging out there, you could bring a puppy dog and, you know, they'd all chase the puppy dog away and,
right,
and, you know, chase after the puppy dog and leave. So that wouldn't be the issue. But if they're teenagers, they're going to stay there. And so you have to kind of deal with the issue of the teenagers.
But it's an artificial selection process that we didn't know existed before now. But it's still selecting on the basis of age. Now, the interesting thing that most people don't realize or haven't thought of, if you're on Medicaid, and you're below the age of, it's either 55 or 65, I think it's 65, and you have medical aid through Medicaid, you don't have to pay it back. If you're on Medicaid and you're above the age of 65, you have to pay it back. That's age discrimination. And that was taken to the courts and decided in favor of the state. The state is allowed to discriminate on reimbursement of Medicaid based on age.
What about having an apartment complex that doesn't allow under 55-year-old people in it? Isn't that age discrimination?
It certainly is.
Well, I mean, there are millions of them. I'm going to move into one in 3 years.
Well, you could make the case that it should be unconstitutional, but I bet it's been
right.
Decided that it is constitutional, which,
right.
I mean, what do you think about how the law is applied? Discrimination is okay, according to the law, if there's a rational basis for it. And I always use the blind cab driver test. You can discriminate
right.
against cab drivers
who are blind because they... Right. So for the 55-year-old community, what's the test?
Well, the test is the person under 55. And to me...
Right. But why isn't that
discrimination?
I mean, if I'm 54...
It's not... Discrimination itself is not illegal. It's discrimination based on group identification that does not have a rational basis for it. Like I said, blind people, there's a rational basis why they're not cab drivers. If I'm 54 and I want to move into your apartment building, what's the rational basis defense for why I can't? What if I'm 27 and single? What if I'm 43 and have no kids? I don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I start to agree with you, but what if you're the golf course down in the Atlanta, in Georgia, and you don't allow females to be members?
Yeah, where they hold the Masters there. I can't think of the name of it.
Right.
The court has found that in the case of things like the Lions Club and the Moose Club, that it was not rational, was unfair, illegal discrimination to keep women out of those clubs because business was being done there and the women would have been shut out of equal opportunity. So they found under the Equal Opportunity Clause, to me, a golf course... And you know you can't have a golf course that doesn't have black people. How can they say that this doesn't run afoul of the Equal Opportunity Clause when they don't let women in? It's one of the reasons I don't like Tiger Woods.
It's because he's black. No.
It's because he doesn't care that his mother can't belong to his golf club.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying, but I think that's a topic for a different discussion.
We've already had it.
Right. I want to kind of get back to this whole thing about, you know.
The teenagers. All right. Right. Well,
if you found
me...
out, if you found out that the smell of bleach made teenagers want to leave the area and you put bleach out, is that a discriminatory thing? I mean, you know, we find out lots of things about teenagers.
Right.
You know, teenagers don't like classical music. So if you played loud,
that's not true.
Right, I understand, but I'm just saying.
But yes, if we were to say, for argument's sake, that teenagers don't like bleach, and we put bleach out for the specific purpose of getting rid of teenagers, that is an illegal discrimination, in my opinion. What do you think?
I don't think it is.
You think it should be legal to...
I think that you have the right, if you own a store, I think that you have the right to not have your patrons bothered by other people.
What about Jay and Silent Bob? They're standing out in front of your door listening to Morris Day and the Nights, and they're 26.
Right. Well,
you don't
that's when you start to have those kind of things, then you have to really depend on the loitering laws to
point. The loitering laws take effect here. You call the police, you say, this individual, irrespective of his age, gender, race, is loitering and is therefore damaging my business, which I have a right to practice. People don't like to go into a business with a crowd in front of the door. Doesn't matter what age they are. Unfair illegal discrimination.
Well, you know what I would like to do, Max? Why don't we give College Boy a call next week?
Sure.
And we'll read him this story, and we'll ask for his opinion on it.
I think we should.
And then maybe we can call one of Manhattan Man's kids.
Yeah.
And ask her for an opinion on this, just to kind of get a different perspective.
I think we should.
All right. Why don't we plan to do that?
We'll table this one and go on to the next one.
And come back to it. All right. Our show is just about up, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But we definitely have a few quick hits that were left over from last week.
Right.
So I'd love to hit a couple of them.
All right.
All right. Do you have one there that stuck out in your mind?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I found this intriguing. Several Florida jurisdictions have restrictions on where convicted sex offenders can live, even those who've long ago finished their sentences.
Now, that is not unusual. I mean, there are lots of towns and cities that say that sex offenders can't live within X amount of feet from a school
playground,
stuff like that.
To me, there's a rational basis for that. The sex offender thing is a different topic that I would be happy to... wait a minute. Be happy to get into it another time. But anyway, so these sex offenders in Florida have taken to living under the bridge to Interstate 195 in Miami Beach. And the judge routinely gives sex offenders a choice of either leaving town or camping under the bridge. One man has been there so long that he now has a Florida driver's license with his address as the Julia Tuttle Causeway Bridge. In March, an encampment of about 50 men welcomed its first female sex offender, 43-year-old Vonselle Johnson, who told Miami Herald that she so far has been treated respectfully. And I don't know if we want to put this under irony or poetic justice.
Well, I think it might be one of those that kind of cuts the edge right in between them.
I just,
you know,
I don't know. I found it ironic or something.
Well, to start off, I mean, like the teenagers, is this discriminatory?
It is discriminatory, no question. But this falls under the rational basis.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, the article says that the people have to live there because let me see if I can find the exact words. Because this county, this Miami-Dade County, has only one spot that's far enough away from places where children right. roam. The approach to the interstate bridge. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only spot in the entire county where kids don't go. I mean, come on, that doesn't make
any
sense.
And it's a natural place for kids to hang out under bridges anyway.
Sure. So basically, the Florida jurisdictions have made that the only place where
right. I'll grant you
kids
that.
Don't roam.
My problem is with the idea that we're letting sex offenders out of jail. If a person is a threat to society, or reasonably likely to be a threat to society, and I don't know, I just don't think we're sentencing sex offenders to enough time. Now, it's a little different if your 16-year-old daughter has sent a naked picture of herself to her 15-year-old boyfriend, and now he's in possession of child porn. But if you got a 45-year-old guy who's taking children to his basement, you know where I'm going with this. He's probably – well, they say the recidivism rate is high. He's probably going to be a threat to another child. I don't think jail should just be about punishment. I think it should be about protecting. If you're a threat to society, you should be locked up. That's why I don't understand why they let murderers out after 7 years. So, you know, to me, it should be the person is actually reformed, or the sex offense was so minor as to be, you know, an 18-year-old having sex with a 17-year-old under consent, and it's technically against the law. This person, I don't feel like, is a threat to society. Again, if you're 43...
Right, but who ends up making those
decisions? Judges do.
You know, depending on who's making those decisions, whether it's a conservative or a liberal, would have a very, very different interpretation of what may or may
that's
not
true.
Be.
And judges have a lot of power, and in this case, I think that's the answer to your question. But you know what I'm getting at. These guys that are stealing children and murdering them, sorry, you should never get out of jail. At the same time, if you're in jail because you have a picture of your naked girlfriend that you didn't ask her to send.
Or even if you did ask her to send it.
If she voluntarily sent it.
Now you're in possession of child porn.
Yeah, there's a common sense intuitive factor here that says this is not the same thing. So that's who gets to decide. But I thought it was funny. I don't know. It's something about the idea of 50 men welcoming 50 sex offenders living under a bridge in Florida, welcoming their first female, who then was treated respectfully. It's like, I don't know. It was so odd to me.
Well, look, we're on our way out. I just have to tell you that this last one,
okay.
just a quickie. Was the one of all the ones that you sent me. This is the one that I enjoyed the most. That was the New Zealand's Employment Relations Authority, which actually had a formal ruling that says that a worker who, in a fury, tells his boss to stick it up his ass has not officially resigned unless he follows it up with a
That's
formal
right.
notice.
You can tell it.
So
you
telling
can tell
your
the
boss
job,
to stick
and the operative word there is job. Stick his job up his arse is the way it's written. That's not a formal resignation. Do you have to write stick it up your arse after you're writing down the formal resignation?
I guess perhaps you do, but it has to be in writing
I think
and
so.
Signed. And
what better way to end than that?
Well, as always, Max, thanks very much for your entertainment, your derby
this
knowledge.
This was a fun show. I liked it. And we definitely have to revisit that question.
All right. Well, we shall.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we will.
See ya.
All right. Talk to you later.
Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screams.